Welcome to the Fifth Quarter Podcast. My name's Rick Samprin. It was an exciting game, but it ended with a Tiger-Cats loss. The Fifth Quarter Podcast begins now.
We've been talking Tiger-Cats football for over 50 years. Welcome to the Fifth Quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Hello, football fans in Hamilton from coast to coast and around the world. This is the Fifth Quarter. It's brought to you by Eastgate Ford. And you are listening to 900 CHML. Rick Samprin with you. Wow, what a barn burner of a football game tonight at Tim Hortons Field, where a last-second walk-off 48-yard field goal by Sean White got the job done for the BC Lions in what was a roller coaster ride for both these teams. Final score 33-30, Leos over the Tabbies. Hamilton now 8-9 on the year, and that also means that the Montreal Alouettes have clinched second place in the East. So if the Tiger Cats want to play in the Grey Cup and win the Grey Cup, they will have to win two road games in the postseason. And if you were really paying attention to head coach Orlando Steinauer's postgame interview with the boys on the Ticats Audio Network, quote, "We'll be back here," which is in reference to the November 19th Grey Cup game in the Hammer. Well, we shall see. If it happens, that means they will have won in Montreal on November 4th and the following week in the East Final against the Toronto Argonauts. Some thoughts from me before I go to you on the phones, email, text line, and on X. You know, it was an exciting game for sure, an exciting finish, no doubt about that, and some really nice performances by a few Ticats players in particular. And I'll start with my player of the game, and I thought he was sensational again tonight, and that is Tim White. 7 catches, 112 yards, 2 touchdowns, and made some key grabs as well. Tim White, not only a security blanket, but an explosive one, and that for both Bo Levi Mitchell and Matthew Schilt. Some comments on Bo Levi. You know, I thought, look, overall, looked okay. The pick six was just, ugly. Ugly throw, ugly decision. I mean, you know, the screen pass looked like it was going to play nicely at that point, but, you know, overthrew his intended receiver right into the hands of the BC Lions player who took it all the way for a touchdown. But after that, I got to say that Bo Levi, I think, rebounded nicely. 13 of 19, 135 yards, couple of TDs. That one pick, the big blemish. I thought he was okay tonight. And if he played the entire game, who knows? It might have been a different result at the end of the day. But I'll also say this, Matthew Schilt again impressed me with both his running ability and making some big plays downfield. 14 of 19, 180 yards, and 1 touchdown. He also ran the ball 3 times for 26. And I'll say this, James Butler wasn't used a lot tonight, but when he was pretty effective. It didn't break any massive runs this evening, but solid. 15 carries, 67 yards. He also caught 5 balls for another 47. And defensively, you know, there was a lot left on the field, I thought, that this defense could have played a lot tighter, a lot more aggressive. Too many times, defensively, there were too many soft spots that Vernon Adams Jr. was able to take advantage of, and he certainly did. But in saying that, some good performances. You know, Simone Lawrence, 6 tackles. Dexter Lawson Jr., maybe with the highlight of the year with his interception at the Ticats goal line. What a catch that was. 7 tackles. He also had an interception. And 3 sacks on the night, all in the first half, though. Casey Sales had 2, Jameer Thurman with 1. And penalties. You know, the first half, it was 0 on the board for Hamilton. They were playing a very clean game. A second half, a much different story. 7 infractions, 64 penalty yards, and, you know, some penalties that just were ill-timed. And so at the end of the night, it's the Ticats coming up short, 33-30. Sean White with a walk-off field goal to win. And so it sets up Hamilton in Montreal for the East Division semifinal. Ticats obviously have to win that to have a shot at playing in the Grey Cup, and they'll also have to beat Toronto at BMO 1 week later. But the Ticats are on the bye week. Montreal does not have to worry about winning this weekend against the Elks. They can start resting players, and both these teams will gear up for their back-to-back big games. End of the regular season, which won't mean much, but might be a table setter for their postseason tussle. We shall see. All right, time for you to chime in on your thoughts on the game. Vote for your player of the game. Calling us now at 905-645-3221, star 9900 on your mobile device. Send me an email, rick@900chml.com, and on X, at Rick Samprin is the handle. You can also tune in on the Radio Player Canada app and listen on podcast form. Search out the fifth quarter in your favorite podcast platform. Leading us off is Colton, who's called into the fifth quarter. Colton, hello, how are you?
Well, I usually say not bad, how about you, but I'm a bit frustrated tonight, Rick, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it was an exciting game. I think we were all entertained, but it's too bad that the Ticats came up short.
Yeah, I agree, too. I mean, it's just, I don't know, it's a little frustrating. I try not to blame the coaches too much, and I haven't mentioned them all year, I don't think. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Mark Washington, holy smokes. I just want to say, how many times do we have to leave guys 5-10 yards wide open downfield until he realizes we might need to cover them? Like, I understand there's going to be a guy lose because of a blitz if we send too many up front. I understand that, but at the same time, it's almost like every other play, and with a minute left and it's tied, and we have no pressure on the receivers with the DBs. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so frustrating to see. Like, I don't know if you feel the same way or not.
Well, yeah, I mentioned it. I mean, the zone defense did not work at all tonight. I mean, it was too soft.
Yeah, it's just like it's oh my goodness, it's so frustrating to watch. Like, that game, we should have been going into overtime, and there they are setting up for a field goal kick because Mark Washington wants to leave our DBs 5-7 yards off the ball. Like, holy smokes, how many got like it, Vernon Adams looked like Joe Burrow tonight. He was just picking guys like, oh, go here, oh, go there, oh, this guy's open downfield, oh, that guy's open downfield. It's like, Marsh Washington, does he have money on the other teams every time we play them or what? Like, he leaves so many guys open downfield. It's just so frustrating to see. As a fan, it's maddening almost.
And that last drive in particular, now they weren't playing a lot of zone. There was more man-to-man, but still, with a minute left, Dane Evans in at quarterback, and he goes 4-for-4 for 42 yards to set up the game-winning score. You know, they should have played a lot better defensively tonight.
Oh, I agree, too. I mean, they start off with 3 sacks, and it's like, okay, this is going to be great. This is going to be easy. And then all of a sudden, Mark Washington, oh, 3 sacks is enough. We can't hit Vernon Adams too much. He's got a playoff game to play, right? Can't be too aggressive on D. Let's let him pick us off all the way down the field, and it's no problem. It's just like, holy smokes, man. Like, we should have been all over him all game. We should never should have let up what was working. And I understand that BC will adjust at halftime, and they'll adjust in between quarters and in between plays. I get that. They go, okay, this guy's coming this way, so we got to cover him. But, oh, my goodness. Like, I think the Ticats this year have strayed too far away from what's working. During a game, it works a couple times, and they stop doing it. Like,
it's frustrating.
I think they played well overall, other than the D. The offense played great. It was an exciting game, but I just wish we would have tightened up and played something completely different at the end. But
yeah, I think they played well enough to win top to bottom when you look at the whole game, but obviously they did not. Who is your player of the game?
I want to say Matthew Schultz. He played great, and I want to wish you good luck tonight, Rick, because I know the calls probably aren't going to be great tonight either, so hang in there.
I appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Great call from Colton to start us off. Let's go down to Dave, who's next on the phone bank. Hello, Dave. How are you?
Hey, Rick. How are you doing tonight?
I'm all right.
I guess just to echo the prior caller, I think the defensive secondary was just, I guess we had some injuries, and that's why things turned out this way. But, you know, I go and we dressed 8 defensive linemen, 5 of them imports. And we have a rookie DB Canadian. That's our only backup. So I've watched that whole season. Sometimes we have 9 defensive linemen dressed. I really don't understand that. I don't know how you can go into a CFL game and not have either a really experienced Canadian DB who can play some other positions or another American. dressed as a backup. I don't understand that. And but this the defense had played terrible in the second half. The receivers were wide open. Like, it wasn't even close. Like, it was terrible. I don't know what Mark Washington was thinking. He was playing soft, maybe because of the injuries. I don't even know who was hurt. I heard it on when I was watching the game on TSN. But I really think it's a selection process. Like, I don't even think Dylan Wynn's seen the field tonight, and you're wasting an import spot on a defensive tackle who doesn't see the field. So I was very disappointed. I think that played a big part of the game, and that's why Mark Washington had to play that way, because he didn't have anybody else to put on the field.
Well, let's not forget, too. I mean, Nick Cross goes down. Not to say he's an integral part of the defense, but there's one guy down. Leonard went out for a couple of plays, and he eventually came back. Yeah. So, you know, Delacay's out, Elliott's out. Not to make excuses, but, yeah, it's getting down to the short straws, especially in the secondary.
But it was. I don't think the Tiger Cats are really going to go too far if they're going to play defense like that. I think Montreal will pick them apart. I think Jason Moss is a smart coach, to be honest with you. And disappointing. As far as my player of the game, I think it's been their MVP all year has been James Butler. I think if the team played as tough as he did and played with such passion as he did, I think we'd have a much better record.
Butler has been great all season long. Dave, appreciate the call. Enjoy the weekend.
You too, Rick. Thank you.
That leaves a line open for you at 905-645-3221, *9900. Let's go to the email before we go to our first break of the night. This one from Anthony. Hello, Rick. We played a solid offensive game tonight with both Bo and Matt at QB, but the secondary was Swiss cheese tonight. The amount of second down and 10 plays the Lions made was absurd. This needs to be fixed for the playoffs, as we should have won that game. We also had a lot of costly penalties this game. Those two blocks that cost us, huge. This also needs to be cleaned up for the playoffs. I need to know, who are you starting for the playoffs? I'm taking Schiltz. Guy's a stud. Player of the game is White. Thank you, Anthony. And actually, that's one of the questions that I wanted to ask everyone on the show is, if the playoffs start tomorrow, is it Mitchell under center or is it Schiltz? I mean, who are you leaning towards? For me, I think this team is going Mitchell all the way. And I'm not sure if that is the right answer, to be honest. I mean, Schiltz has really impressed me when he's come in. He's a dual threat. We know he can run. He's shown us time and time again. He's got an active arm. Great chemistry with all the receivers. I think Schiltz is the guy right now. If the playoffs started tomorrow, I think Schiltz is the guy. But I think this team goes with Bo Levi, just with the pedigree, paying him a lot of money. You don't want to see a guy like that sitting on the bench come playoff time. This is the time of year you got him for. 905-645-3221, *9900 on your smartphone. You can send me an email, rick at 900chml.com. On the text line as well, 905-645-3221. Let's take our first break of the night. We have Manny, Alex, and Dave, number two, holding on the line. We'll get to you next. On the fifth quarter, it is brought to you by Eastgate Ford on 900CHML.
It's where Ticats fans come together. This is the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900CHML.
Second and goal from the seven. Matt Schiltz throws, wide open receiver. It's Tim White. Touchdown, Tiger Cats. His second of the game, his ninth of the season. And the Tiger Cats are currently tied. Mark Leggio coming on the field to attempt a convert that will give the Tiger Cats their first lead of the football game.
And that kick was good. It was 21-20 at that point, but the Ticats fall tonight 33-30 against the BC Lions to fall to 8-9 on the season, with one more game in the regular season to come in a couple of weeks' time as they travel to Montreal in what is, in the standings at least, a meaningless game. But a week after that final tilt comes the playoff game between Hamilton and Montreal, and I'm going to guess that that will be a message-sending opportunity for both teams. This is the fifth quarter. It's brought to you by Eastgate Ford on 900CHML. Rick Samprin with you. Call or text 905-645-3221 to offer your thoughts on tonight's game. Vote for your player of the game. You can send me a note on X at AM900CHML, at Rick Samprin. Use the hashtag fifth quarter. Got a couple of X's, or I guess former tweets? What are we calling them? I don't know. Posts on X. Let's go with that. Marianne says, why does the defense play off the receiver so much? They aren't even close to force interceptions or quickly tackle. Number one player of the game, Tim White. Unsung player, Loxley. Lisa says, Ty Cats are getting entertaining game tonight. The defense needs to be a lot better moving into the playoffs. Player of the game is Matt Schultz. Colin on X says, problem was playing too soft of coverage. Offense showed up. Defense was non-existing in the second half. Player of the game, Tim White. Big catches when needed. And Jeff on X is not sure what Washington's obsession with playing 10 yards off the ball on every play is, but it doesn't work. Other than that, good game. Player of the game, Tim White. Back to the phones we go. And Alex has called into the fifth quarter. Hello, Alex.
Rick, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'll be a lot better if I don't understand how everybody's talking about how poor the defense played and nobody's questioned the coach's call to go for a field goal and given BC all that time on the clock, right? If we needed to win that game and hoping that we win it in overtime isn't taking the bull by the horns. And I can't believe that the your guys in the locker room didn't ask Orlando, why did you kick the field goal instead of going for it on third and four?
So it's right? 30-20, and you want them to go for the first down as opposed to tying the game?
Absolutely. You got to go. You got to have belief in your guys that you're going to go out and win a game.
Well, shouldn't you believe in your defense to make a stop, though?
What, the way they played tonight? Are you kidding me? I wouldn't have bet a plug nickel on them. There was no way the way our defense was playing that they were going to get a stop.
Yeah, I don't. I would kick the field goal 100 times out of 100 there.
Yeah, not me. You want to prove to yourselves that you can do it, that you're winners, that you needed to go out and win that game. You go out and win the game. You don't hope you win it in overtime. You go out and win it with the ball. You got to want the ball in your hands when it matters, and that's what they should have done. I would argue till I lose my voice that they should have went on in third and four.
Well, and here's why I go for it 100 times out of 100, because as a coach, you want to put your players in the best position to succeed. And by going in at that point, I get you want to be aggressive and you want to win the game. I get that. But if you don't allow your team to at least have a shot at winning the game, if you don't tie it, you're not going to win. And if you don't get a first down, I mean, the post-game questions would be like, Orlando, the field goal was there.
Yeah, but you know what? You're leaving them a minute left, right? And our special teams did not do a very good job, and no one's even touched on that. They were getting the ball across the 40 almost on every kickoff, right? So you got to figure they're at the 40, two or three passes, they're in field goal range, right? I'm always a believer, and I bet you the stats would tell you that going for it's the percentage play there, but...
All right, well, we'll agree to disagree. That's okay. Who's your player of the game tonight?
Wait, you know what? I remember when we first got him, and I didn't think he was much of a ball player, but as he made me eat crow, this kid's crackerjack. He's crackerjack. I could watch him all day long. I loved him, and, you know, Butler's the E for effort. I mean, the guy's just the energizer bunny. He don't quit for anything, and I wish there was more people out there that had heart like that guy.
Well, he is a gamer, that is for sure. Alex, appreciate the call. Enjoy the weekend.
You too, sir. Thank you.
905-645-3221, *9900 on your smartphone. You can also send me a text at that same number, 905-645-3221. The email is rick@900chml.com. Got an email from Alan out in St. Catharines who says, well, it was a close game, but I figured it would be. Thought Bo Levi Mitchell played well other than that pick for a touchdown at the start of the game by BC, but he did redeem himself. Schultz played well in relief of him in the third period. I thought it was a good game overall. Player of the game was Tim White with another over 100 yards receiving. Butler had some crucial rushing plays tonight, though, and gets the runner-up. I'm a bit concerned with our injuries in the backfield. Leonard got injured but walked off the field. Nick Cross is out. I know Adeleke and Elliott also out, so I'm not sure if they will be ready for November playoffs. I'm wondering where Lawrence Woods is because I noticed he's not on the practice roster. nor the one-game or six-game injured list. I hope we have him for next week. We can also put Edwards in the backfield if need be. He can play DB. So it's official. We play Montreal November 4th, and then if we win, we play the Argos November 11th. I do feel good about this QB duo going on here, says Allen. Mitchell and Schiltz bring different plays to the game. If it works, which it is, we run with it for the rest of the year, I think. They bring two dimensions to the quarterback situation. With the pass rush by BC tonight, Schiltz runs better than Mitchell, but I still love the sharpness of Mitchell's throws. I think we give Mitchell half the game next week, then put in Schiltz like they did tonight. We can't afford any more injuries. I'm sure some will sit out next week also. We need our guys healthy when it counts. That email from Alan. Back to the phone. Dave number two is called into the fifth quarter. Hello, Dave.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good, good, good. You know, I think something that's, you know, I have to, the second caller, I think, you know, Dylan Wynn did rotate in all the time, so he was wrong in that. But, you know, who had a crappy game tonight was the officials. I thought the officials were terrible tonight. We, at the game, we never got the call on that time where, you know, the Ticats got, the ball was on their four at the 40, and they got, moved back, and then all of a sudden it was first down on the 19. You know, we didn't get any explanation.
That was the offside play against BC.
Yeah, was it objectionable conduct or something like that on the Ticats that moved down to the 19?
Well, no, I mean, BC completed the pass for the first down, but then they were called for holding, which I think was a holding call, which put the ball back on the Hamilton, whatever it was. And then I think the officials just picked up the flag. I didn't really hear an explanation, but I agree. This was a weirdly officiated game.
Yes, it was. And the other thing is, you know, that they flagged BC for offside, which BC's bench went crazy on them for calling them on offside, because no one ever calls those guys that are offside, you know, when they're running out of the wide receivers. And then, of course, they'd have a makeup call, I think, which was the, you know, the crackback block, which, you know, that stuff is happening all the time. And, you know, I really think it was kind of chintzy. It was number 94, Diallo, or I think it was. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he was on the sidelines. Yeah, they got in a fight on the sidelines about it. But, you know, I thought the refereeing could have been way better tonight. It just seemed like they were lax. The other thing that they did was when the Ticats took a time count violation on the kicking the field goal, they were running over. There were two referees that ran over and explaining what happened to Steinauer. Meanwhile, the clock was running, right?
Just well, I think at that point they were wondering, and I think Orlando was talking to them about potentially challenging the previous play, and I think that's what the discussion was.
Okay. And, okay, now, speaking of challenges, this is what I want to know that no one's talked to. Why did Orlando not call roughing the runner when Schiltz slid down and the guy rolled over him? That's a reviewable call.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
That would have been first down on about the 10-yard line.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, and I thought that would have been the case.
Sliding. He was sliding.
He gave himself up, yeah.
And the guy rolled over top of him. Why did Orlando not challenge that? I don't understand it.
It's interesting for a league who's trying to protect the quote-unquote star players, and those would be pretty much every quarterback, how that is not called is beyond me.
Yeah, and you know, and we've had that with Orlando lots of times. Sometimes I don't understand what he's thinking out there in terms of, you know, play to play. I mean, sometimes I think he gets lost sometimes out there. And to me, that was an immediate challenge when Schiltz was sliding down like that.
I was expecting the flag as well. Oh, well, number one, I was expecting the flag from the referees first and then the challenge.
Yeah, well, that's a game changer, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're looking at first down on the what? About the 15-yard line instead of a second down on the 45. Mm-hmm. Like it was, I thought it was poorly officiated and poorly run by Orlando, but we're used to that, right? I think Orlando, Orlando's a great guy. I think he's a great, you know, he's always, you know, everything's all great and the guys are all great and we tried our best and everything, but in game, I worry about him.
Who do you got as your player of the game tonight?
I think Schiltz for sure. I mean, I thought Butler was, you know, he's been great lately, but I thought Schiltz is our guy, and, you know, I think Schiltz is the guy we should be going with. I mean, I realize you're paying Bo all that money and everything, but, he just Schultz just comes in and there's results all the time.
He is a good player, and he has played well this season in battling injuries as well.
Yeah,
Dave, appreciate the call. Enjoy the weekend.
Okay. Thanks, Bob.
And it's Dave number two offering his thoughts on tonight's Ticats loss, 33-30 the final. BC getting the job done. They're now 12-4 on the season. Big win for them because they're battling for top spot in the West Division with Winnipeg at 12-4. Winnipeg's 12-4, BC 12-5 following their win tonight. Winnipeg is on the bye week this week. So huge win for the BC Lions for them to have any hope of hosting a home playoff game. 905-645-3221, *9900 on your smartphone. Send me an email, rick@900chml.com. Lots of emails streaming in, including this one from Stuart. Hi, Rick. This is Stuart from Brooklyn, New York. Even though it was a tough loss, they showed that they can compete with the top teams in the West. I thought it was horrible coaching decision by Mark Washington. Why are you playing 20 yards off with 4 seconds left? Really feel confident with this team on the road in the playoffs. They play well on the road. If Adeleke and Laurent are back, I like our chances. Tim White is the player of the game. That email from Stuart. Back to the phones we go. Tim is on the line. Hello, Tim. How are you?
Hi, Rick. Good. How are you tonight?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. I just want to shed some optimism into the callers tonight. And, you know, I think we need to take a look, take a step back to go forward. We need to look at the fact that we played a very tough BC team tonight at home. We lost by 3. Yeah, there are some questionable calls. Those are out of our control. We need to control what's in our realm of control, and that's executing on offense and executing on defense. So to speak to some of the questions that, you know, Mark Washington was playing with his prevent defense, I found that a lot with this team. We've played a lot of prevent defense, and we're giving up the first down more often than we should be. Especially when Evans is coming in as quarterback, we should know what type of quarterback he is. It's nice to see Dane do well, but we should know what he has to offer and set up for that. So that was my first point on the defense. To answer your second question, I totally agree with the person who I think he emailed in, Alan. I think we go with the two-quarterback system. It seemed to work with Mazzoli and Dane. I think Bo's got the long arm that we can count on, and I think Schultz shows that he's versatile, he's mobile, he can move in the pocket, and he can keep the defense honest. So I think we look at the fact that we beat BC in BC, we beat Winnipeg at home, we kept BC to the last play of the field goal. I think, you know, we got to concentrate on Montreal, going in there, what can we control, what can we do, keep it honest, and then go forward and play a Toronto team who... Yeah, they're a great team, but I think that everyone's really touting them. They may be reading their own press clippings, and they could be ready for the pickings. I don't know. Call me an optimist, but I'm liking what I'm seeing in that option.
Hey, we've seen it so many times. A one-game playoff. If a team has a bad day and the other team has a good day, and that other team that's having a good day is the Ticats, it can happen. I know they haven't played against Toronto very well this season, but it could happen in a one-game playoff. We've seen it before.
And this team just reminds me of that, kind of that Argo team that goes 9-9. They squeak in, they find a way to win.
Yeah.
So, hey, you know what? Call me an optimist, but November 19th, I'm not necessarily sold against the fact that we're there. Player of the game, Matt Schultz, 2QB system. That's where I think we're going for tonight. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it. Have a great weekend, Tim. 905-645-3221, *9900 on your smartphone. On X, use the hashtag fifth quarter. The handle is @RickSamprin. Got a tweet from Jim who says, bah, would have sworn we were going to overtime there. Great game, but we just couldn't punch it in for late TD when we needed one. Stupid penalty. Guess we're heading to Montreal for the playoffs. Butler for player of the game. Corey writes, well, let's stay positive. We went to the wire with one of the best teams in the league. Now on the negative, our defense has been giving too much cushion to receivers, and it's been all season long. And Rock the Red Sunday says, their only hope of hosting a playoff game is they need to beat both Montreal and Toronto in the playoffs for the Grey Cup this year. And that is right. There would be only one more home game for this Ticats team, and that would be if they win in Montreal on November 4th and then in Toronto on November 11th. To play in front of the hometown crowd here in Hamilton on November 19th for Grey Cup 110. Hey, send me a text, 905-645-3221. Vote for your player of the game, offer your thoughts on tonight's game, or via the email, rick@900chml.com. Back to the phones we go. Manny in Hamilton is waiting. Hello, Manny.
Hey, Rick. Back and forth game, a totally enjoyable game to watch. And, you know, they're playing against a very good team, and it could have went either way. And everybody, you know, people are calling Shane about reffing and all that. At the end of the day, we had a chance to, where I thought we really messed up was when they had possession, the last possession, because you knew it was going to be a back and forth game and probably the last team with the ball might win. They need to go basically just a field goal. So in this case, they're not needing to throw the ball deep. And when you're not needing to throw the ball deep, I don't know why our defensive players are so far off the receivers, and that's a coaching thing. The other thing, going back to that, like if you they're not going to throw a deep ball. They have, like, you got to know certain parts of the game, and I think again it comes down to coaching. Forget the ref, you forget the player. The players are usually who you have, and you're not going to get much better players this time of the year. This is who we have in your organization, but you could try to coach them better and put them in better situations to win. So I don't know if the Ticats had, because it was a penalty, the holding penalty that brought BC back to the 51. And then, so obviously the clock stops with 5 seconds. So I don't know if at that point the Ticats still have a timeout. But I'm thinking, if you do, why not use it? Why not use it to just tell your players, here's what we want to do. Here's what they're probably going to do. They have the most proficient kicker, field goal kicker in the league at the moment. And so you know he's going to be good. Anything, you know, within 45 or whatever, he's going to make it. So you got to play to not put him in any position to get the field goal, not play off the ball. And the other thing, again, and a veteran mistake, Simone Lawrence has to leave that player on the ground and let that whistle go 1 or 2 seconds later and the game is over. I don't know what he's thinking. That he's surrounded by a couple of tight guys. Even if he gets up, he's not going to make it to the end zone and the game is going to be over. He touches him. I think Simone knows, because once he touched him, he put his hands up to his helmet. And I think he knows what he did. Again, and that is, even the most veteran of players at times, and this is where coaching comes in, and just a little refresher. Guys, this is what we have. Scenario, 5 seconds left. You need to lay off the guy. If he gets up, let him get up or whatever. Just get him down. And obviously, once the clock has gone to zero, everybody gang tackled. It doesn't matter at that point. So absolutely was the coaching that blew it. I also agree that Schultz is a better option. So at the very least, you give the other team something to think about. You go back to the Winnipeg days with Strebler and Nichols, when they had one was like Strebler was more of a Schultz and Nichols more of a Bowe. And you give the defenses things to think about. So you've got to definitely work Schultz and at least create some kind of game plan for his in. And on that note, Schultz is definitely my player of the game.
Good choice and good commentary, Manny. Appreciate the call.
Have a wonderful weekend.
And you too. 905-645-3221. Matt Schultz with 6 votes. Tim White, 5. James Butler with a couple for player of the game honors. Chris in Burlington calling in on the fifth quarter, brought to you by Eastgate Ford. Chris, hello.
Hey, how you doing, Rick?
I'm all right. How are you?
Pretty good. Last time I called in, I told you it was getting hard to watch. It's not hard to watch anymore. In fact, it's quite enjoyable to watch for the most part. I'm a little stinging from this loss because I really thought we were going to pull this one out. But I guess I'll take a little consolation in the fact that I think we saw history tonight. I don't know, have to do a little research on this, but I think it's possible that tonight we saw the only time in history where an offensive play was executed start to finish in 3 seconds. Don't think that's happened before.
Yeah.
I've watched a lot of games, played a lot of games over the years. I don't think that's ever happened. I've never seen that happen before. Obviously, the whole game doesn't come down to one play, but geez, I thought we should have at least had some overtime.
Yeah, whoever's pressing the time start button at Tim Hortons Field has got to be on the ball.
Well, didn't they go to the command center or whatnot?
Yeah, because they had to figure out when Simone touched the receiver down how many seconds were left. But that was a slow 4 seconds for me.
Yeah, I can't see how that happens in 3 seconds. I really can't. You know, I mean, beyond that, sure, the defense seemed a little soft. Our offense boy, they seem pretty good. You know, a few things here and there, you know, but really, we put up 30. That's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad. I don't know. Little stinging, but I like the way Coach O said we'll be back.
Well, yeah, I think we should expect him to say that because that should be the mentality is, hey, listen, we're going to play one more home game, and it's going to be that last game of the year.
Hell yeah, I'm there.
Hey, who's your player of the game tonight?
It's a toss-up, I guess, again, between either Schiltz or White, but I'll give it to White because I actually, you know, I kind of felt like he short-armed one there early in the game, early in the first quarter, but after that, man, he was on, and we went to him, and he was there.
He was so on
White.
He was on like Donkey Kong, for sure. Yeah, Chris, appreciate
absolutely.
The call. Have a great weekend.
You guys missed. Yeah, give it to him.
You got it. Thanks, Chris. Chris in Burlington voting for Timmy White. Exceptional game for him tonight. 7 catches, 112 yards, couple of TDs. Schiltz, 14 of 19, 180 yards with a touchdown. And Bo Levi, if you're keeping track, 13 of 19 through basically a couple quarters, 135 yards, 2 TDs. That one pick six really stinks and really sticks out like a sore thumb as well. Email from Stephen out in Penticton, B.C. Greetings, Rick. I thought it was a hell of an entertaining game. Yes, our Cats had some stupid calls. Washington had our defense playing to vanilla at critical times. But they played well overall. This game cost B.C. big time. Their starter's knee injury does not look good. Player of the game, Tim White, off now for the bye week. Don't be too down, fellow Ticats fans. They will crush Montreal in the playoffs. Regards, Stephen out in Penticton, B.C. So Stephen is quite optimistic as we head into playoff territory in just a couple of weeks' time. We have Corey and Sue on the line. Hold on for just a couple of minutes. We're going to be back here on the fifth quarter, brought to you by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
We're talking Ticats football. This is the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Second and 7. Lions are on the Hamilton 29. Vernon Adams back to pass. He's got time, and he's throwing, looking in zone. Keon Adger, it's intercepted. Oh. Dexter Lawson came out of nowhere, and he picked it off. Now he's up and running. He's across the 25, the 30, up to the 40, the 50. He's across midfield. Dexter Lawson intercepted this in the end zone, and then his own man, Chris Edwards, is pushed into him, and he's out of bounds at his own sideline inside the 25. There is a flag, though, way back on the 15-yard line.
And that was against the Ticats, and they ended up losing 33-30 to the BC Lions tonight. Ticats on the bye week now. They will wrap up the regular season in a couple of weeks' time in Montreal. And then a return date to Percival Molson Stadium for round one of the playoffs. By virtue of Hamilton's loss tonight, Montreal has clinched second in the CFL's East Division. This is the fifth quarter. It's brought to you by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML. Give me a call to express your thoughts on tonight's Ticats game. Offer your vote for player of the game. Right now, Tim White and Matt Schiltz both lead the race with 6 votes each. Email from Big Ange in Stony Creek, another heartbreaking loss for the guys. I thought the game plan tonight failed. The inability to make a game change was the difference tonight. Or in-game changes, pardon me, was the difference tonight. For the Ticats to be successful, they must put pressure on the opposing quarterback. Our defensive backs were 10 to 12-yard gap on their receivers, totally unacceptable in this league. All in all, they made one more play than us, ultimately cost us the game. Looks like if all goes well, we'll have to make a trip to BMO in a few weeks. Player of the game, White, in a landslide. Big Ange from Stony Creek. Back to the phones. Corey has been waiting patiently on the line. Hello, Corey.
Hey, Rick. How are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
Not bad. Last home game of the season, so I guess it's kind of not too good. But, you know, we didn't finish out great, and we lost the game. Well, you know, like I always say, we always find a way to lose.
Yeah, they kind of found a way tonight. I mean, defensively, there was a lot to be desired tonight.
And again, across the board, like we have more yards, we have more passing yards, more rushing yards. We might have been behind in first downs. We tied them in the turnover battle, and like when we get into those things, you look at our turnovers. We had the Bo Levi pick six. We had the Dexter Lawson interception in the end zone, return for 70 yards, called back 69 yards back to our own one. We had the let's say another mistake is the Schultz run into the end zone. We get called back on holding. How many more times can we shoot ourselves in the foot to win that game? And again, we find a way to lose where our team looks great. I love everybody phoning in and saying, we got to take the positive. We got to accept that we played well against a Western team, a top Western team that still had something to play for, very much to play for. They still do now. And now we have nothing to play for. But I'd hate to say it. It's the same thing we do, not just this season, year in, year out. And it's kind of getting tired for us to keep showing up for the same result, the same mediocre 9-9, 8-10, scrape your way into the playoffs, maybe get a run, maybe lose the Grey Cup again, because that'd only be 5 in the last 10 years. But I'd hate to say it. I am much into the football business, just like everybody else. What have you done for me lately? And I need this team to prove themselves in a winning aspect once and for all.
Well, they have another opportunity to do it in a couple of weeks and certainly come playoff time, but it remains to be seen how they go about doing so. Who is your player of the game tonight?
I'm going off the board here because this guy's played all year. I don't think he's missed a game. We picked him up last year, David Beard. Our own line gets thrown through the wash. We've been very consistent the last few weeks. We're opening up running lanes. Again, James Butler is over 120-something yards tonight. We have three receivers, maybe even four receivers, that have six-plus receptions. We have a washed quarterback that is finished in this league. There's no doubt about that. And we have up-and-comers that I feel like need to be given that opportunity. They need to step in. Bo Levi would have never had a chance if Dickinson didn't go down. Right?
Everyone needs an opportunity, that's for sure.
He would have never had a chance. So we need to give these guys a chance.
Corey, appreciate the call.
Thanks, Rick.
Have a great night. That is Corey with offering his thoughts on tonight's game. And David Beard was a game-time decision, believe it or not, coming into this game, and he played, I thought, outstanding. Sue has been waiting patiently on the line. Hello, Sue. How are you tonight?
Great. How are you, Rick?
I'm okay. Thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are, I think, it was a very entertaining game. I mean, we did really well. I mean, I thought the defense played excellent. I think the offense could have been done a little bit better. I think we got three great quarterbacks. Bo Levi is the veteran. He can really show the two new guys how to play. Schultz is, I like a quarterback that can throw, hand off, and then also know that he has to run, and I really like that in a quarterback. And Powell, even though he hasn't played the last couple of games, I think he is really good, and I said this the last time I called in, he's a really good up-and-comer, and I hope they don't get rid of him. The player of the game, yeah, Schultz would be my player of the game, but I got to say something. The other players of the game are the fans and the stands. I mean, we've been there. These guys, I mean, they could be my grandsons. I said this before. And on a personal note, I just want to say I've been going to the game since I was 12. I'm now almost 70. My friend Linda Rydas, she'll be listening. Her and I have been season ticket holders for 39 years. And this was our last regular season game as season ticket holders. But I want to thank her for that. I want to thank the Tiger Cats for a great, entertaining game. I know we always say there's next year, but I really think, you know what, we can always pull it off. I have blind faith in this team, and I think they can do it. But like I said, Schultz is my player of the game, and also the fans, because the fans, to me, have become family. The people around me, when it was Ivor Wynn, and now that it's in the new stadium, they're family. And I hope people that are thinking of getting season tickets do it, because there's nothing like building that camaraderie with the fans in the stands.
And without the fans, Sue, there would be no games. There would be no league. So, yes, thank you for continuing to be a season ticket holder and for supporting this franchise and the league as well.
Yeah, well, thank you for all what you do, for going on the fifth quarter and staying up late and taking all the calls.
Well, it is a lot of fun, I will admit that. Sue, thanks for the call, and have a great weekend.
You as well, Rick. Thanks.
Great call from Sue. Brandon on the text line, 905-645-3221. Brandon from Stony Creek. Hey, Rick, just wanted to throw my two cents in on this one. Frustrating loss, entertaining game, though, and I thought the refereeing was rather subpar overall for both teams. I saw a photo after the game where on that final play with 4 seconds left, the BC receiver was about 3 yards offside, not to mention the missing roughing the call on Schiltz's slide. Regardless, this team looks like they're heating up at the right time, and the QB carousel is looking like a real threat. Playoffs are a different monster altogether. Who knows? Maybe we beat Montreal and fluke our way past the Argos back here for the dance. Player of the game, Tim White / Matthew Schiltz. So they both get a vote, and they are still tied for player of the game. Well, a couple of emails coming in. This one from Kyle, who says, "Hello, Rick. Frustrating but entertaining game tonight. A defense definitely needs some adjustments come playoff time, but I trust them getting it together in time. They've been consistently good enough all year. Definitely much more happy with offense really starting to fire at the right time. I'm leaning 60-40 to Schiltz starting in the playoffs, but it's hard to deny the resume Bo has to sit him. This team has a shot at a Grey Cup win, not a huge one, but enough of one to get it done." Thanks again, that email from Kyle. All right, some end of the show awards to hand out. Big play of the game's gotta be, even though it was flagged afterwards, Dexter Lawson's highlight reel interception at the Hamilton goal line. What a grab that was. All right, I think this is the second time in a row we've had a tie for player of the game. Tim White and Matt Schiltz both tying for your votes as player of the game. So good on them and good on you for recognizing their great play tonight. And our fifth quarter fan of the night tonight is our last caller, Sue. I mean, if you're a season ticket holder for decades, I think you're automatically in the hunt for fifth quarter fan of the night. And Sue is the championship winner tonight, if I can say that. Next game for the Ticats after the bye week comes on October 28th. Ticats in Montreal. For producer Ben Strawn, my name's Rick Samprin. Join us then for the fifth quarter, brought to you by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Where Ticats fans come together, win or lose. Listen after every game to the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
The fifth quarter podcast is available on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and wherever you get your favorite podcast. I'm Rick Samprin. Thanks again for listening. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. It's free, so you never miss an episode. And make sure you rate and review.